Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too.
And this week, we're checking out WandaVision on Disney Plus, Mr. Mayor on NBC, and then we're checking out the new streaming platform, Discovery Plus, with shows like 6 Degrees with Mike Rowe, Magnolia Table with Joanna Gaines, Elephant Hospital, and Bobby and Giada in Italy.
So stay tuned to the end to find out if BJ is going to invite me to his Magnolia Table.
It's a literal table?
Yeah. Well, it's a restaurant.
Okay, you'll have to tell me all about that.
I will. But first, let's go to the Marvel Universe with WandaVision on Disney Plus.
You know, this is a series I was very excited about.
Yes, you're a nerd. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, this is Marvel Studios' first television series. Fun fact, the other Marvel shows were not made by the people who made the movies. Now the movie people are making WandaVision, which is blending classic television with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we're following Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen, and Vision, played by Paul Bettany, these super-powered beings living in a suburban neighborhood, trying to have normal lives. But we quickly realize that something seems a little off, and we're not sure who even knows what's off and why we got here. But it's going to be fun watching Wanda and Vision go through classic sitcom storylines.
That's my question for you, Beej. Throughout the pilot, we see things like they have a heart on the calendar, and they can't tell if it's an anniversary or some kind of big day. Neither of them knows why it's marked. Or we see that Stark commercial that feels a little ominous, or there are these moments where they use their powers, even though they're set in the Dick Van Dyke Show where everyone else is extremely normal or pretty normal. I'm curious, what is happening? Can you explain to people who are not as familiar with the Marvel world?
You know, I wish I could. I want to know what's happening, but that's part of the premise of this series. This is starting off the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so this is post-Endgame. We have Wanda. We don't really know what she's been up to, but Vision died in that battle against Thanos. And now we just kind of see her waking up to her new life as a married couple. And even with characters like Agnes, played by Catherine Hahn, who's her neighbor, we're starting to see that everyone just kind of accepts that this is how things have always been, and we don't know why. And I think that the main question for this entire series is going to be, what's happening and why?
I feel like why is our... You know how in Bravo Watch What Happens Live, Andy's like, the word of the night is... And he'll pick some flashy word or some word that was said a lot in a Real Housewives episode, whatever. So in this case, that word for us would be why. And it's true, why kept coming up for me, but I did enjoy it. I love the Dick Van Dyke Show, and that's what this first episode was modeled after, as they are trying to figure out why they're there, what they're doing. Vision doesn't even know what his job does, but he just knows he's good at it. Or good at computing, but he's not a computer. And
he's very much a human.
That all for me seems to flow really well with the hijinks of the Dick Van Dyke Show. That show was absurd. People were literally tripping all over themselves, making jokes, using physical humor, using the humor of what's happening. And that's what we're seeing in WandaVision.
Yeah, I'm surprised how well the superpowers blended in to this kind of black and white classic sitcom environment. I'm also curious, how did you feel about them making an intro with its own theme song to match with the classic aesthetic, them inserting a commercial break in the middle of the show, and also the use of a laugh track?
I loved all of it. It just sucked you into the world of the Dick Van Dyke Show or of a black and white sitcom of that era. I don't even think you necessarily had to like the Dick Van Dyke Show like I did or like I do, but it just helps really set the scene for where we are and what they're doing. And you really care about the stakes outside of what you know from them of Marvel. I found myself caring about Vision's ability to impress his boss or Wanda's ability to pull off this homemade dinner for Vision for what she thought was potentially her anniversary and then for impressing the boss and his wife. I would also give a shout out to Mrs. Hart, played by Deborah Jo Rupp, who is an icon. She acts really oddly in the show, and that also gives you a hint that they weren't exactly just transported into these very idyllic eras. Something is amiss. You also get a hint of that, I think, in the commercial.
Yes, there's something amiss, and I think it's that weird combination where Wanda and Vision are accepting that this is their world, but they also have no questions about why do they have superpowers. And that's an odd mix. And I'll also say to the listeners, we don't want to give spoilers, not that they reveal much in this episode. Just be on the lookout for the one moment where something is not black and white.
Facts. Ooh, that's a good point. That is the one moment that was not black and white. I didn't even think about that.
That must mean something.
She does even have a voice change at one point when she talks to Vision. So throughout, Wanda has this very perfect wife, black and white sitcom voice, but there is a higher stress moment toward the end of the episode that isn't related to their superpowers or anything, but she has a moment where she's like, Vision, you need to do that. And she sounds like herself from the movies more than from this Dick Van Dyke spoof.
It's almost like she breaks character.
Almost. So, Beach, what do you see next for these two?
I have to be careful because I did watch episode 2 right after episode 1. But if people have seen the trailer, they know that this entire season is going to do odes to many classic sitcoms throughout history. So the show is going to evolve aesthetics as the storyline evolves as well. And I think all I'm going to say is it's going to stick with that question of answering for both Wanda and Vision and the viewers. How did Wanda and Vision end up in this sitcom suburban life? What are your theories?
I don't really have any. As y'all know, I'm not really comic book hive or Marvel hive. I've seen movies because of you. I think I've seen all of them.
You have.
Okay, I just haven't seen... Well, Spider-Man is not in that world, the ones before.
Oh, correct. You've only seen the Tom Holland ones, which are in this universe.
I love those, but I digress. With this, I am just most excited to see how they're able to do reveals within these sitcoms, because there are these moments within this facade of this very idyllic setting that you see that something is wrong. And in those little moments, it's like fun and funny, but also chilling and suspenseful. So I really like it. And I think that's giving away my rating. But Beach, do you want to see more episodes of WandaVision on Disney Plus?
Clearly, I think anyone who knows me knows that I've been waiting for this show since it was announced.
True.
I watched the first two episodes the morning that it came out. And I'm eagerly awaiting next week's episode. So this is a solid would watch again, seriously, for me.
I agree. And I know that that might be surprising for you, Beach. And I'm sorry that I didn't watch the second episode. Y'all, as we sat down and write notes for how we would structure our reviews, BJ asked me no fewer than 4 times in a span of minutes whether I watched the second episode. So someone's a little more enthusiastic than I am, but I really liked it. And if you're not Marvel hive, but you like sitcom and hijinks, but also some suspense, then I think you would like this show. And I plan to watch the second episode probably sometime today. And I'm excited for the next ones to come out too.
I'll also quickly add, if you also like romance, the plot of Wanda and Vision developing their relationship is also really sweet. So that could be another factor that could draw you in.
Look at you selling this show.
I'm trying to recruit some more viewers.
Well, speaking of recruiting and campaigning, let's take things over to LA in a 2020 present, but without pandemic world, with NBC's Mr. Mayor.
Break it down for us.
Ted Danson plays Neil Bremmer, a wealthy billboard businessman who runs for mayor after his predecessor couldn't handle 2020 any longer. He is also a single dad to Orly, played by Kyla Kennedy. And in this first episode, we see dad, daughter, daughter's school in the city of LA end up in a debate over plastic straws. Beach, how did you feel about it?
You know how I am when it comes to comedies. But I will say that this was a show that's pulling off a lot of the classic elements of NBC comedies. I immediately got vibes of Parks and Rec, Office, and Superstore. where you're taking this workplace environment and then trying to make that funny. And so I think it's one of those shows, for me at least, that you have to warm up to the cast, because once you learn their personalities, you can start to see the charm of the show. What were your first impressions?
I agree. So this is the classic formula of all of those NBC shows. It's from the mind of Tina Fey, who herself has had a lot of success on NBC. And it is that classic workplace comedy, but made current. So a lot of the behavior that would have passed on older shows like The Office or Parks and Rec or 30 Rock don't fly now. So we have Ted Danson as Neil Bremmer. He shouldn't be mayor. He is like really, he's just bumbling his way through LA and wreaking havoc. And you see everyone around him immediately recognize that this was a mistake, and they're just trying as much as possible to hold him accountable. So Vela Lovell plays Michaela Shaw, who is his chief of staff and a social media influencer. And she talks about in the pilot her regrets around getting him elected because she wanted to just take a quick high-paying marketing gig. We also see that he, in the classic NBC universe, has Bobby Moynihan as Jaden, who is his communications director. And so that person is also just very much a bumbling fool as well. And so it just has that mix of classic NBC humor where you have these people who are maybe not the best at their jobs, maybe not the best to lots of people, but they're funny and there's a heart there. And then you now have this more modern spin on it where they're being on some level held accountable. How did you feel about his relationship with his daughter?
You know, I'm always 50-50 on bringing in the children of characters into kind of workplace comedies. But I think Orly Brimmer is a good addition in this particular series because it adds some nice contrast for Neil's character. And really, it gives Ted Danson more to work with in terms of range. So I like having her in there and their interactions. What are your thoughts?
She's another example of someone who's holding him accountable too. So when she is running for class president at her school, she introduces a plastic straw ban, and then Ted Neil Bremmer introduces a plastic straw ban for LA. And now they're competing as to who gets to keep the plastic straw ban because it's a popular policy, but they don't want to seem like they're copying off the other. So it was a fun dynamic, and we learn in the episode that he ran for mayor because he wanted to make Orly proud. And it reminded me of this tweet I saw that was like, men will literally run for president instead of seeking therapy. And then Jason Kander quote tweeted it and said, this is true, because he did really almost run for president instead of seeking, very publicly seeking mental health support. And so it just made me laugh a lot. Like, Neil did not want to deal with his problems at home. Did not want to deal with his problems of having a little more time to himself, being retired. He did not want to deal with trying to forge real connection with his daughter instead of just telling her business allegories to solve her problems. And so he ran for mayor and is informing and leading people's lives.
You know, sometimes the most extreme gestures lead to the most unexpected but beneficial outcomes.
Okay, how do you feel about his dynamic with his deputy mayor? So Holly Hunter is Arpy. She wanted to be mayor of LA, but couldn't get elected. She is very much no nonsense. She is very much an activist, very in tune with LA's communities, and pretty openly dislikes him, which was fun.
That's my favorite part about her, is that she is no-nonsense, straight shooter, tell you how it is and what she thinks. And she has, I think even more than anyone else, no issues pushing back against Neil and criticizing Neil.
Yes, they even said that his chief strategist, Tommy, played by Mike Caballon, said that they gave the mayor a fake phone and told him he was tweeting. And he said it even made animal noises. And so they just all disrespect him on some level or don't expect much from him. But Arpy especially shows open disdain for him. And that is a fun dynamic to me.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where we have to wait and see as he builds their trust and proves that maybe he can do a little bit of things right sometimes, and that they can also be friends, but still pick on each other all the time.
So, do you want to see more episodes of Ted Danson trying to figure out how to be mayor of LA?
Well, I watched episode 3 after the pilot.
You did. A little bit of a mix-up, but you did watch more episodes, technically.
And I'm further ahead than you. And I will say it stays funny. So that's a good sign. So I would put this at would watch again casually. I'll pick up an episode every now and then. I think I'll prioritize Superstore over this, but now that Superstore is coming to an end, maybe this will fill that void for me.
That is really interesting that you would watch again casually, because usually I'm sitcom hive and you are anti-funny and joy, but I would actually watch while doing things at the same time. So like I would put this on in the corner while I'm cooking or folding laundry or doing emails, things like that. I don't know that I will watch even all the episodes. This doesn't strike me as a show I have to watch in order, but from what I did see, I guess you're proof of that. But from the pilot, you can see that it's funny. There are these funny moments, but I don't think I need to watch it seriously.
How about we move on from comedies and let's check out the latest streaming platform. This is Discovery Plus, which is now hosting shows from Discovery Channel, Food Network, TLC, HGTV, OWN, Magnolia Network, and Animal Planet. It's also riffing off, which I guess is just the new way of naming streaming services, Add a Plus, Disney Plus, BET Plus. We're going to have Paramount Plus soon.
Oh.
Now Discovery Plus.
What did you watch Plus?
I watched Discovery Plus 6 Degrees with Mike Rowe.
Okay, what happened?
So this is interesting. If you know Mike Rowe, he did his classic shows where he was exploring real jobs in America. And here he's doing another educational type series, but educational for all ages. And he's doing 6 degrees of separation for different topics, which allows us to learn a lot. So he wants to show how hungry Civil War soldiers helped produce the show he's creating, 6 Degrees with Mike Rowe. So some of the cool elements are they have reenactors for a lot of scenes. So they have people kind of showing historical events while Mike is walking through and talking to the viewers. There are some moments where they have puppets to help reenact some scenes that would be a little harder to do with actors. They have some animations. And surprisingly, I felt like I learned a lot of cool facts while watching it, and I wasn't expecting that. So I saw how they went from hungry Civil War soldiers to a cookbook that changed sanitation to a rise in meat production to the development of Wilson Sporting Goods, the forward pass in football, 3D data storage, and now 6 degrees with Mike Rowe because now they can do Google searches.
Wow, that sounds like you learned a lot. I'm glad that you were able to nerd out. As background listeners, BJ watched 2 pilots on Discovery Plus and I watched 2 pilots in order for us to just widen the spread of what we're able to recommend to you.
Maximize our reach.
Yes. So what was your favorite moment?
I think my favorite moment was when I learned about Thomas Wilson, who started Wilson Sporting Goods. He came from the meatpacking industry and then developed sports goods using discarded animal parts. You know, leather and also tennis racket strings were made from intestines.
That made my stomach turn, but that's an interesting fact. What would you say could have been improved in the pilot? I'm not kidding. My stomach genuinely just flipped when you said that. Even though I know, because people call it throwing around the pigskin.
Anyway, my least favorite moment, this was like a 40-minute show. And while I enjoyed it, I feel like for an educational series like this, half an hour would be more palatable. Because I do think they really stretched out those 6 degrees. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I think I would watch again while maybe cooking or if I'm doing some kind of extended chores around my apartment. This would be fun. You know, what's something I never thought about that I could learn? And I think this is something you would probably watch while traveling. I feel like I can see you in the distant future at a airport terminal or on a train watching an episode.
Oh, from your lips to Beyonce's ears, I really do hope we can travel soon. And I would love to learn about Google search and animal parts on sports balls or anything else, as long as I'm on a plane away from where I am. I'll watch anything. So maybe that recommendation is a little bit moot, Beach. Show me anything as long as you're taking me away.
Just press play.
Just press play. You got a scary movie? Sounds good. I'll try that for the first time of my life. I don't care.
Okay, well, how about you travel over to Italy and tell us about one of the Food Network shows you watched?
In Bobby and Giada in Italy, Bobby returns to Italy after spending 6 weeks there the prior year before filming. And this time he's spending a month between Rome and Tuscany, and he is bringing Rome royalty Giada De Laurentiis with him. In this first episode, they explore pizza, gelato, they learn about four iconic pasta dishes, and they even enjoy a night out in Rome.
Wow, he really is just having a great vacation.
And getting paid to have it. It was just beautiful. I would say overall for the show, it had big study abroad energy, but in both negative and positive ways. So for the positive, it was just literally cute to see how enthusiastic Bobby Flay was about being in Rome and familiar with his surroundings. And so he was showing the production crew, like, this is where I would go to school to learn Italian. And the school was literally named after Leonardo da Vinci. He was like, that is not a joke. It's really Leonardo da Vinci School of English or School of Italian. And he was so excited to show Giada and the production crew, like, where he got his morning coffee, where he goes for his favorite gelato. And you could tell that, like, he really fell in love with Rome when he was there, and he was clearly chomping at the bit to come back. And then what was cool about the added element with Giada is that it tempered that study abroad energy. So one thing I learned about Giada De Laurentiis, I knew she was from Italy. I didn't know that her mom is a famous actor. Her mom's father is a famous filmmaker in Italy. Giada's father is a producer. And I think both of her siblings are involved in, one of her siblings passed away, unfortunately, but I think they were both involved in the film industry in California. So I didn't know that she is, like, part of this.
Born to be in front of the camera.
Yes. And I think even one of her grandparents was, like, a famous actor or something like that, in addition to her mother's father. So it was interesting to learn. And so wherever they went, not only was Bobby Flay being stopped, and I didn't know Bobby Flay was that famous. I know that Bobby Flay is very successful, but people, and maybe it was for the sake of the show, were stopping him constantly as they were filming to shake his hand or to high five. And then same for Giada's mom. If they were having trouble getting into restaurants and things, they knew that with Veronica that they could get in. Isn't that funny?
Must be nice.
It must be. It was cool. So you see, like, Giada learned how to make this really intricate meatball that she loves, and they learned how to make these fancy pasta dishes, and she showed Bobby her favorite lunchtime pizza, but then he showed his favorite cocktail places, his favorite ice cream places, his favorite late night pizza spots. And so it was cool to see their energies balance.
Did you have any least favorite moments?
There were two drawbacks to me. Similar with yours, I think that it didn't need to be 42 minutes. It could have been a 30, maybe 35 minute show. And I think it's because there was maybe too many shots of Bobby Flay walking around in his very, like, European dad outfit. Many a fedora was worn, and oh. It was cute. But I think we could have used a few fewer shots of him being like, this is my laundromat. This is near the apartment I stayed at. This is where I wash my clothes. It truly reminded me of when I studied abroad, and then I would visit my friends where they were studying abroad, and they were thrilled to show me how local they had become. I would watch more episodes of it. It was really beautiful, and all of the food looked delicious. I got very hungry watching it. Had some avocado toast this morning while they were having delicious looking pasta, but it's fine. I just tried to convince myself that this poached egg and avocado mash was exactly what they were eating. And I think you would like it too. I don't think you like travel shows. So I think for you, this might be a background show, or this might be a show that I force you to watch with me.
Wow. Well, maybe I'd watch it in the background. I think I would like the food portion of it.
Yeah, you do like food stuff.
Okay, me too. Let's stop talking about food and let's start talking about animals. There's an Animal Planet series on Discovery Plus called Elephant Hospital, and this is set in Thailand at the world's largest medical facility dedicated to elephants. And so the cool thing is they have 7 dedicated vets And the show is hosted by a visiting wildlife conservationist, Dr. Paul O'Donohue. And I guess an Animal Planet documentary where we're just following the daily events of this animal hospital and we learn a bit about some of the elephants. One of the things that I learned, which was pretty cool, is that there are these personal nurses for each elephant called a mahout. And they are assigned to an elephant basically for life. And since elephants can live so long, some of these mahouts are caring for their elephant for like 40 plus years. And they're able to build this trust with the elephant, which is important since they're such social creatures. So when it's time for scary or painful medical procedures, they're able to help calm down these giant, dangerous animals that could easily like kick or crush the vet. It was really cool to see. And we saw this cute baby elephant named Minnie. She was 2 years old, but she had elephant herpes, which is unlike human herpes. It's not an STD, but it's fatal to infant elephants because it causes inflammation in their brain. So she was all like sad and mopey and she wasn't playing and her mahout was sad and worried about her and brought her to the hospital with her elephant mom. Fortunately, I gotta give you spoilers. She gets some antiviral medicine and she is okay by the end of the episode.
I was really stressed. Why would you say it like that? You're like those American Idol judges who are like, I'm sorry. You're gonna have to pack your bags because you're going to Hollywood.
This is really tough news to give you and I don't know how you'll take it, but everything's great.
I'm so happy she's alive.
And it was interesting, they had to give Minnie tablets, these antiviral tablets, 60 a day, and they would stuff them in bananas and watermelon to trick the elephant to eat them like you trick a kid to take medicine. You see some other cool elephants, there's like this young teenage bull elephant who had elbow wound from a battle with another male elephant, which brings me to one of the cons of the show. It is super fun. The elephants are super awesome, but there are moments where you see a little bit of blood. You see these open wounds on some cases. It turns out the most effective way to take an elephant's temperature is up its behind. So if you don't want to see those types of scenes...
Oh, you don't want to see elephant rectum, this is not the show for you.
Yeah, if you don't want to see an elephant butt, if you don't want to see an elephant peeing, if you don't want to see blood and some pus, I wouldn't say don't watch this. I would just say know that it's going to happen 10 seconds every 10 minutes or something. It's not a large part of the show, but it's something to be... to have on your radar before you check it out.
Would you watch more episodes of it?
I actually think I would watch this casually. Like, I didn't think I would be drawn to these elephants, but seeing their caregivers, seeing how the doctors have these literally like 20-year medical records and how much they care about the elephants, it was just like heartwarming. And I watched it on a Friday night and it was just a good show. I also think you would really like it as well.
I love elephants. When I went to Thailand, there were only like 2 WWF approved elephant sanctuaries because there's a lot of fake sanctuaries or sanctuaries that are actually abusive. And so my partner and I went to one of them and I just was in heaven. They're so smelly, but they're so big and cute. And we got to walk with one and feed her and she was really aggressive. You like reach into this bucket and give her fruit as y'all walk. But when I was walking with her, she didn't want to wait for I wasn't fast enough for her. So she just stuck her trunk into the bucket. So I was just holding the bucket and the person was like, well, we try to like pace out her snacks. And I was like, I'm not going to fight an elephant. Like, so we're going to have to figure something else out.
This is her cheat day. I can't do anything about that.
Apparently, she was so food obsessed that she once broke out of the sanctuary and went into a nearby town and then ate so much as she was going through this town that they found her in this, I don't know if it was a puddle or creek or something, because she had eaten so much and felt so weighed down that she had to just like try to float a little bit, like offset some of the weight in water. It's just an elephant after my own heart.
So you should definitely check out Elephant Hospital.
I will.
It seems like it's the perfect show for you.
I love elephants. I will.
So me too. Let's wrap things up. I think one of the networks that's really popular in the Discovery Plus family is HGTV. And you watched a series from, I would say, one of their star hosts on the network, right?
Yes. Heavy is the head that... has to cover Chip and Joanna Gaines, but I'm ready to do it. I watched Magnolia Table, and this is one of the first shows from Chip and Joanna Gaines' Magnolia Network, and we follow Joanna in her home kitchen. So she's making family meals from her extremely successful cookbook. This book was so successful that it was the second highest selling book in 2019 behind Michelle Obama's Becoming. In this first episode, she honors her Lebanese heritage, her grandfather on her father's side is Lebanese, by making fatayer, which is a meat, potato, and cheese hand pie, a Lebanese salad with tomatoes, cucumbers, and onions, hummus, and my favorite, baklava. What I thought worked about this show, and what I assume works about the cookbook, which for whatever reason I hadn't heard about, even though it was like apparently just the most popular thing, is that she makes the recipes super easy. She knows her audience really well, and it's very clearly people who are parents like she is. Maybe you don't have as much time to make a super fancy meal. And so she is giving you suggestions for some healthy, some not so healthy meals that allow you to eat really well while not putting in as much time or effort as I think other cooking shows or cookbooks would require. This show was 24 minutes, and I genuinely believe that you could have made the recipes that she cooked in like 25 minutes to an hour. So for the fatayer, usually it's handmade dough and it's lamb meat and it's seared for a while and you shred the potatoes by hand and all of this stuff. And she was like, I use biscuit dough, like from the can, as the bread around the pie. She said that she uses hamburger meat for the meat. She throws in cheddar, okay, and instead of hand shredding the potatoes, she uses hash browns.
Oh, okay. All the shortcuts.
Every single shortcut. I really liked that. I was like, if her cookbook is like that, where you have these delicious looking meals, but just much easier routes to get to them. It was very Rachel Ray. If you remember, she had that show where she would make a meal by the end of the 30 minutes. So like if you cooked along with her, you would finish it. I felt like that with this show.
That was a good concept.
It's a great concept. And then it also just felt so casual. So she would ask the producers like, where was I? What layer is this? She even had a song to remember the baklava where it was like six nuts, 10. And it means 6 layers of phyllo dough, nuts, 6 layers of phyllo dough, nuts. What, you know, and then 10 layers on top. And even that was like, because I forget sometimes. And so I was like, oh, that's a song that someone could sing to themselves if they want to make this. And even with that, she got lost in it and then had to ask the producers and the director, like, what layer is this again? And so, and then she fed them after and you saw her take the leftovers to her dad. So it was just, you felt like you were in her kitchen with her. I think the only thing that wasn't for me in this show is I literally don't think the show is for me. Like, I'm not a parent. I'm not the target audience for this show. So I don't know that this is one that I would watch religiously. And I don't think that I'm the target audience for it anyway. But it was just a really light, nice show.
Would you use her recipes?
I would. So one, I think I would watch the show while cooking if I wanted to cook something she was making, because I do like that she's taking some easy routes. That's very appealing to me, especially in this era. And for you, I would recommend her cookbook because you are such a great cook. And
thank you.
If you're able to find some recipes that you can like save time. I mean, I'm not trying to be shady. I think she's trying to save you time. And I think that, you know, you and I are both big fans of like meal prepping and stuff. And I think this is one where, yeah, you could cook these things quickly.
So you might not check it out again and you think I should just go straight to the cookbook.
Oh, I would watch more episodes. I think I would more want the recipes. But if like the salad she made, I was like, I could literally make this salad while she's talking. She even said, you don't come to this show to learn how to cut. And BJ, the way she cut the vegetables, I was like, you're right. You did not know how to use a knife.
You are being honest.
Yeah, I rarely watched a show where I was like, I could do that. And I watched this and I was like, I could do better than that. Like,
actually, that's kind of appealing to cook along with someone and you're like, I can do better.
Isn't that like confidence boosting? Whereas like sometimes when I cook along with stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, pause. Okay, so what was I supposed to fold over what?
Yeah. And you're like, your knife is moving very quickly. Let's just slow it down.
Whereas the way she made them big chunks of cucumber and tomato, I was like, oh, I could more finely dice than that. I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. I think one thing I'm now noticing, as we've talked about all four of these Discovery Plus series, is that they stay true to, I guess, the Discovery Network premise that we learned something from each episode.
100%. Each show. I literally added tomatoes and cucumbers to my Instacart because I forgot how much I love a simple tomato, cucumber, feta, red onion salad.
Yeah, I like that. I like when you are watching something and you learn from it, but you don't go into it with the intent to learn.
So, Beej, where can people find more episodes of the Pilot Podcast?
All they have to do is head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com, and they can subscribe to us on all of their favorite podcast platforms.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at The Pilot Pod, and we're so excited we're back, so please keep sending show recommendations, because as you know, every other week we do shows recommended by you, our listeners, so you can send those questions, thoughts, feedback to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.